The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
All right, we started a series last week called The Names of God. We're taking the beginning of the summer to kind of look at different names of God. And the truth is that Psalms 9 verse 10 says this. It says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you." You might be here this morning and you're not sure what you know about God. You're not sure what you believe about God. You've heard that there are different religions that believe in different things about God. Is it one God? Are there many gods? Are there different gods? Who's the God of the Bible? And that's what we're doing is we're taking several weeks to look into who God is. The God of the Bible, the God of the Old and the New Testament, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is one God. Now, there are many religions that believe in different forms of God, that believe in different gods, not the God of the Bible. There are some religions that have aspects of Christianity to them. But I want you to know here today that the Holy Word, God's Word to us, contains the truth about who He is. A lot of times, we read through Scriptures and we just see the word God. But what we don't always see is that God in English is not always just God. It's more complicated to that. A couple of verses we're going to look at today are going to show us a couple other names that in English we just translate God. You get what I'm saying? Last week we looked at a word called Lord. Many times we call God Lord. What are the other names for God that we use sometimes commonly in English? Jesus. Any others? Father. Big guy. Yeah, the big guy. Okay, so there are many names. A lot of times you don't hear certain words like one we're going to look at in a couple weeks called El Shaddai. One we looked at last week, Yahweh. We're going to look at different kind of forms of His name, Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rohi. There are different names for God that give us something, not just when we get bored, something for us to call out, hey God, I want to call you something different today. There's something important about these names. There's truth packed into each of these names of God. And the more that we understand and know God's name, the more that we can know His plans and His vision for our lives. The more we can know who He is, His character, what makes God who He is. And today we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper. Last week we looked at the name Lord. In your Bibles, I pointed out that many times in English, the only way we really know something is different when we see one word Lord and another word name Lord. Sometimes L-O-R-D is just capital L, or it's all lowercase. Sometimes it's L-O-R-D, all caps. Whenever you see in English L-O-R-D in all caps, there's a name behind that, and the name is Yahweh. In the original Hebrew, it was Y-H-W-H. They didn't have vowels. In the Hebrew alphabet. And so they just wrote YHWH and may have pronounced it Yahweh. Yahweh means the great I am. We sang that song, one of my favorite songs. We saw in that name that God is. He always has been. The verse from Hebrews I just quoted, Jesus and God are the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. He is. I am what I am. And the beautiful picture we saw is that while in the book of Exodus, the passage we studied, and God revealed His, Moses said, hey, so God, you're sending me back to these people you want me to lead out of Egypt. If they were to ask me who sent me, what should I tell them? And He said, tell them, I am what I am has sent you. Yahweh, the Lord, has sent you. And so later, much later, thousands of years later, a guy is born. We're going to look at his name today. Who do you think that guy is? Say it a little louder. You're awake this morning. Yeah, Jesus. We're going to look at the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is powerful. Again, not just a random name. Jesus is not another God. Jesus, you're going to see through Scripture today, is God in flesh. We believe that the Holy Scriptures teach us this concept called the Trinity. That there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father was the being of God that interacted with people through most of the Old Testament. God spoke through prophets. Sometimes he appeared through things like bushes or writing on walls. God manifested himself in unique ways. There are pictures, theologians call Christophanies, where Jesus himself appeared in the Old Testament at different times and seasons. But the primary personhood of the Trinity that spoke and interacted with people in the Old Testament was God the Father. God had a plan to become one of us. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. God became one of us. He took on flesh, and his name was Emmanuel. Where do we get this from? Let's look at it today. If our key verse is going to be Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. If you have notes today, you can fill out as we go along. Isaiah 7, 14 was written 740 years before Jesus was even born. Can you even grasp that? I mean, it's hard for me to think what life is going to be like. I'm 43. It's hard for me to even imagine what life's going to be like 40 years from now. Hopefully I'll still be around. Imagine 700 years time. I mean, that's not even like on our radar. I'm thinking like one day it would be so amazing to travel the galaxies, kind of like my heroes of the Star Wars galaxy. But that's eons away, most likely. I will most likely never be able to get into a real-life Millennium Falcon and travel through the star systems, okay? But maybe 700 years from now we'll arrive at that technology. Who knows? I just wish I could be. Actually, I will kind of be there one day. We'll get into that in another sermon. Isaiah 7:14 was written 740 years before Jesus was even born. And this was a prophecy that was given to Israel in the time of great need. They needed hope. And so God gave them this promise. He gave them this promise. He said this. He said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son. And you will call him," what? "Emmanuel." This was supposed to be a promise of hope. Now, for those alive now, they would literally never physically see that day as human beings, because 700 years passed. And many probably even said, you know, that must not have been a true promise. It didn't come true. And generation after generation, people were wondering, is God even God? Is he there? Like many of us will even think of today. But the truth is that when God says something, we have proof through scriptures that it will come true. Many people have looked at Jesus and wondered, is he just a good teacher? A lot of religions look back at Jesus and see, well, he was a very moral figure. He taught some great lessons. Yes, you should model your life after that guy. That was a really good guy. And a lot of people will give Jesus credit because he seemed to be a good guy. History points to Jesus. Not, you don't just have to go to scriptures. There are writings from historical writers throughout the ages who wrote about this guy named Jesus. Jesus was real. Historically, things point. How many of you believe that George Washington exists? About half of you. Okay. How many of you ever met George Washington? Okay, one of you. Okay, that's good. A lot of us, we have historical documents. There are things left behind that kind of point to there being the reality that there was this guy named George Washington. Great in many ways, our first president. But a lot of us will look back at Jesus and scratch our heads. Who was this guy? Who was he really? And there's this controversy. Actually, there's been a couple people who have come to our church and they've wondered where we stand with Jesus. One gentleman was having a conversation with me and said, "I really love that I feel welcome here." And that's what we want. We want you to feel welcome here. Regardless of what you believe right now, we want this to be a place where you can come and discover the truth of who Jesus is. In saying that, there is truth of who Jesus is. There is truth of who God is. And in love, I want to share with you that truth. I don't want to make you feel awkward or uncomfortable. I want you to be able to see with me and allow God's Holy Spirit to reveal to you through His Scriptures who God truly is and who Jesus is Himself. Jesus was not just a good guy. He was not just a well-spoken teacher. Jesus was Himself God in the flesh. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's no other way. If there were other ways, if you could somehow get to heaven by being good enough or by caring for the poor or by putting your faith in some other deity, then it wouldn't have made any sense for Jesus to give up his life on the cross. You know, why am I doing this? If I'm not the only way, why am I giving up my life? But the truth is Jesus is the only way. Jesus himself, when pushed, last week we looked at this closing verse, when pushed by the religious elite of that day, the Pharisees, they were like, so who are you? We see you're a good teacher. You've even performed a couple miracles somehow. Who are you? We had Moses and we had Abraham. We had these great prophets of old, but who are you? And Jesus said, before Abraham was, what'd he say? I am. And this like rocked their world, because I am is the name of God and God alone. And here Jesus was saying, before Abraham was, I am. And he right in front of their face was saying, I am God. I don't have to point to anybody else. And they're like, you're not even 50 years old. There's no way you even saw Moses. What are you talking about? You didn't see Abraham. And they picked up stones to try to kill him. So let's look into what the scriptures tell us about who Jesus is. Let's look at a couple passages. First, let's start in Genesis chapter 1, the very first book of the Bible. I know I told you to turn to Isaiah, but if you're fast enough, you can mark these places in your Bible, or you can just watch on the screen. Genesis chapter 1 says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now here's, again, the very first example I was talking about. In English, the name for God is what there? You don't really see what's behind that, do you? There's a couple really cool tools. If you don't want to go invest in a big like theological library, there's a couple places online where you can see different passages all at once, different translations, and you can even look at the original Hebrew and Greek. If you put Greek, Hebrew, Bible in your Google, it'll lead you to, I think, Interlinear is the first one that pops up. The word for God there is unique. And in many of the places, the studies we're going to do this summer, you're going to see this same kind of thing unfold. In the beginning, God, the word for God there is Elohim. Some of you, it might even be in the footnote of your Bible. Sometimes if you have a study Bible, it'll point that out. The word Elohim here in Hebrew is from the root word Elo, which means God, and Him is plural. So, in the beginning, gods created the heavens and the earth. You're like, what are you speaking heresy? This is the first picture we see of the Trinity. This is the first time we see God's name, and it's not just God the Father, but God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You go on to see, and you see actually the Spirit mentioned in verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now let's drop all the way down to verse 26. God goes through and he's creating all the heavens and the earth, the beasts of the land, the flowers and the trees. And we get down to verse 26 and God says, and if you have your verses open, let us make man in our image. Who's he talking to? He is talking to him. It's like, yeah. Here's again the picture. Now, how do I know Jesus is there? Jesus' name wasn't mentioned. We saw the Spirit. We see God, kind of like God the Father. But how do we know Jesus is there? Go ahead with me. Let's jump over now to the New Testament in John chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The third, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Fourth book of the New Testament, John chapter 1. John chapter 1 says this. The same first three words appear in John chapter 1 as they did in Genesis 1. In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In my translation, the word Word is capitalized. The word here is Logos. It means in the beginning was all that is, was the word logos in Greek was like the understanding that all knowledge, everything that could be known, that is to be known, could be wrapped up in the word logos. In the beginning was this. And all that is, all that could ever be understand, all that will ever be, was wrapped up in this word logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God is all there ever is, all there ever will be. Everything that exists somehow comes out of God. God is. He is everything that we could ever need, think, wish for, or desire. He is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we see the pronoun He thrown in there. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all of a sudden, how many of you like are really good at grammar? I am not, as you might be surprised to know. The way the sentence structure is built here just doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense. There's a lot of things being introduced that just don't, but follow it. He was with God. Who? The Word. The Word is a He now. The Word was God, but He was also with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In the beginning, in Genesis 1:1, we talked about what? In the beginning, God created the what? So these verses are intimately connected. In the beginning, God created. God was the Word. God is everything. Through Him, everything was made. And nothing was made that, and without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men, or all mankind. Now drop down to verse 14. Verse 14 says this: the Word became flesh, and made His dwelling among us. The Word, from the beginning, He who is everything, the great I Am, became flesh. The great I Am who made everything became flesh. He who made it all became a part of it all. He. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, all of a sudden the word Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this idea that Jesus was there in the beginning is wrapped up in this passage. God made the heavens and the earth. The Spirit was there involved in all of that. The Son Himself, Jesus Christ, was wrapped up. Jesus is God in the flesh. Let's keep going. One more passage to kind of hit this home. Turn to 1 John. Now, the same guy who wrote the Gospel of John also wrote a couple other books that we have in the Bible, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. They couldn't get creative and come up with other names, so they're like, that's the first letter, that's the second, that's the third. So 1 John chapter 1, it's towards the very back of the Bible, and they're much smaller books. If you're flipping through, you might pass them, they're so short. But 1 John chapter 1 says this. Again, this idea going back to the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard and we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. That thing that was in the beginning. In Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This very thing, all that was in the beginning, John is telling you now, we have seen it. We have seen it. Not just it, we have seen Him. We have touched Him. We have experienced Him. He was with us. And we proclaim this to you concerning the Word of life. The life appeared, the life being Jesus, God in the flesh appeared. We have seen it, we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His what? His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make your joy complete. Isaiah wrote 740 years before Jesus was even born that a virgin would give birth to a child and they would name him Emmanuel. Emmanuel. What does the name Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. That is the meaning of the name Emmanuel. What can we take from this beautiful name? When I think of the name Emmanuel, I immediately think of Christmas. There's often times where on Christmas, during Christmas seasons, one of my favorite stories I heard growing up was the story of this family. A mother, a father, their daughter. Christmas Eve time had come. This family had traditionally gone to a Christmas Eve service every Christmas Eve night. And this one particular day, the father was feeling something stirring inside him. He had some questions that he wasn't getting answers to. And he sat there in his chair as his family was getting ready for church. And as they were ready to go out the door, he just puzzled and almost like confused and torn by the questions of why? Is this Christmas story even believable? I've grown up kind of just assuming it was, but now that I'm a grown man and I'm thinking through it, I'm not even sure it makes sense. How is any of this? Why would God even, if he was all powerful, why would he even come to our earth? Why wouldn't he just do something else? So that night he told his wife and his daughter to go on without him, and he stayed home. While sitting in front of the fire on his chair and contemplating all these questions going through his mind, the silence was interrupted from a great thud at the front of his house. He wasn't sure he actually heard it. It had come and gone so quick, and he just went back to thinking. But sure enough, not too much time passed, and another thud from the front of the house. And so he got up this time to go and investigate what happened. He looked around, he pulled back his curtains and looked outside. He didn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, another thud, and it scared him because something had hit the window right in front of him where he was standing. And he looked outside, and on the ground was a bird, and it was dead now. It had hit the window trying to fly into the house. And then bird after bird, he saw them just stirring and going crazy, and they were seeking shelter. It looked like there was definitely a storm stirring up. And so he ran inside, and another bird hit his house, and another one died. And he was like, oh my goodness, there's got to be something I can do. These birds are seeking shelter. They're trying to get out of the storm. They're injuring themselves by flying into my windows of my house. What can I do? And then he looked across his driveway, and he saw my barn. Let me open up my barn doors. Then they can fly in there. So he ran across the driveway. He opened up his barn doors, and he thought, as soon as I get those doors open, they'll know to come in there. And not a single bird came his way. So, well, maybe I'm standing in the wrong place. Let me get away. And still no birds were going to his barn. So he started like trying to shoo them and flap his arms. And he's like getting frustrated. Like, how can I lead these birds to safety? They're going crazy. If only I could become a bird and show them the way. And it hit him. He had never thought of it like that before. You know, we have a God who basically did just that. He created Adam and Eve. He gave them a beautiful garden. He said, enjoy all of this. Everything I've created, it's for you to enjoy. There's just one simple rule. Don't mess with that tree. But they rebelled. They turned against him. They followed their own way. And God still pursued them. Let me love on you. Let me care for you. Even though you now are going to have to deal with the consequences of your sin, I still will be your God and you still will be my people. I will bless you. And he tried to bless them. He tried to care for them. But season after season, God intervenes. God tries to help. And we, as stubborn, rebellious people, go about living life our own way. And throughout all of the historical documents contained in our scriptures, we see the real life telling of God pursuing people and people going their own way. And God keep going, why won't you just get it? From the beginning, though, God had a plan. It's actually unfolded. It's first foretold in Genesis chapter 2, 3, when he says, the seed of the woman will give birth to one who will crush the serpent. And the first kind of foretelling of God becoming flesh through the seed of a woman. And so God's plan was, I will become one of them. And I will show them the way to safety. This is the kind of God that we have, a God who didn't just stay far removed, who isn't just the great I am, the creator of all things, and then removed, not caring about us. We have a God who cares and knows the intimate details of our life and wants to love us. An article written by Peter Larson in Christianity Today, he puts it kind of like this. He says that God intrudes. Whether you like it or not, God is a God who will knock on the door of your life, and he'll keep knocking. He'll knock on the door of human history, and he will keep knocking. He will knock on your door over and over and over again. Whether you like it or not, he is a loving, pursuing, and intruding God. He goes on to say, the God we serve, his name is Emmanuel. Emmanuel entered the world through a no entry. He entered the world through a virgin womb. This shouldn't have been possible, but God made it possible. Born of a virgin, Emmanuel entered the world through a no entry. Then Emmanuel exited the world through a no exit, the empty tomb. He came through the virgin womb and left through an empty tomb. We have a God who isn't just far and off and removed. We have a God who is with us. Emmanuel is his name, and he is with us here today. Why born of a virgin? Why not just born through normal human means? Well, the scriptures teach us that we have a sin nature, and that sin nature is passed through the line of our fathers. And Adam, we all sin, the book of Romans tells us. That in his seed, that sin nature is passed on. And Christ did not have a heavenly father. Instead, he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and therefore perfect and unblemished. Born of a virgin. Jesus is the picture of that innocent, sinless lamb that we see in Scripture over and over again. The Lamb of God slain for the sins of the world. A God born to die. So what is he doing here as we wrap up? What do we see here with God? Why is he here with us? There are many reasons, but two I want to throw at you real quick. The first reason that God is with us is he comes to comfort the afflicted. Christmas time can be a joyous time. I love Christmas. I love presents. I love the family time. But Christmas can also be a painful time. For those of you that experience loss, maybe the loss of a broken family, maybe the loss of a divorce, maybe the loss of somebody you love and care for, Christmas seems to be that magnifying time that draws back all those memories, that brings that pain to surface. And so it can be a hard and difficult, heartbreaking time. But I want you to know that God is a God here who wants to comfort. He's a God who wants to love on us, to care for us. In the book of Isaiah, it says that he comforts like no other. He comforts like a mother. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. How many of you ran to your dad when hurt? I think most people run to their moms, right? You hurt yourself, and what comes out of your mouth? Mom! I remember 18 years old. I was sleeping in my brother's room. We decided to hang out till late, and I fell asleep on his floor. And that night, I was startled. I woke up. I thought somebody was in the room, like broke into the house to steal my Star Wars and G.I. Joe figures. And I did what any grown 18-year-old young man would do. As soon as I woke up and saw him standing in the corner, I yelled, "Mom!" Okay, I'm telling you the truth, okay? My brother jumped out of bed. Some of you met him last week. He grabbed his baseball bat and said, "John, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong?" We turned on the lights, and it was his winter coat hanging on the door. So it looked like somebody was standing there. Many times you run to mom. Mom is a great picture of a comforter, and we have a God who comforts like no other. He comforts like a great mother. And I want you to hear this today. If you're hurting, if you're dealing with loss, if you're dealing with grief, God is here today. Emmanuel is God with us, and he's here today to comfort you. He's here to comfort those who are in pain and affliction. No matter what it is, struggles, trials, storms that you're going through, God wants you to know that he is here with you. Number two, God afflicts the comfortable. God left us here and blessed us, not so that we would just enjoy the pleasures of life on our own. If you've been striving, seeking, you know, I just want to get to a place in life where I can just be comfortable. Be careful. God has a way of not wanting us to get comfortable. I'm not saying God doesn't want to bless you. God demonstrates over and over and over through Scripture that He wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. I'm very grateful for the blessings I have in my life. I have a beautiful house. I get to enjoy really nice, cool things. But God gave me those things so that I could use them to be a blessing to others. If you feel yourself starting and leaning and wanting to get comfortable, be careful, because God is not a God who wants us to simply be comfortable. In Matthew 10:34, we actually see some stirring words, some controversial words come out of Jesus' mouth. Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come to bring not peace, but a sword." Those aren't very comfortable words. To the rich man, he says, "You think you've got it all? Go and sell everything. Give to the poor, and then follow me." To the one who gets struck on the cheek, he says, "Turn the other cheek. Don't hit him back." To the one who says, asks you for a shirt, don't just give him a shirt, but give him a coat as well. To someone who says, "Will you walk 1 mile with me?" Jesus says, "Don't just walk one, walk two." God is a God who's always wanting to push us and stretch us. He does not want us to be a people that grow comfortable in our own. We have been blessed so that we can be a blessing. And if you're arriving at a place of comfort and hoping for peace, God's going to continue to push you. He afflicts the comfortable. Maybe you're here today and the reason you feel uncomfortable is because you're not sure what you think about God. The Bible tells us that God is a pursuing God, and He's chasing after you with all He has. He wants to draw you to Himself. And it may be that you're living a kind of life that you're like, if you knew what was in my life, you wouldn't want me here. You wouldn't want me to talk about it. If God knew, He wouldn't want to forgive me. God does know, and He loves you still. He knows the mess in my life. He knows the mess in your life. And yet, He offers His forgiveness to all who would receive it. Emmanuel means God with us. God is here to comfort you. God is here to challenge and stretch you. God is here to forgive you. The fact is that God is Emmanuel because He is a good God. He left heaven. He came to earth, born of a virgin. He lived without sin. He died the most horrible death ever that could be imagined. And He didn't stay dead. He conquered sin and death in victory. And He came back, and He is real. And at this moment, God is here with us today. His name is Emmanuel. He is with us. Let's pray. As we close today, I want to ask you, do you believe that God is here with us? Do you believe that He is here to be the center of your life, involved in your life, wanting to comfort you in your darkness and despair, but also wanting to push you to greater and bigger things, to a life not of comfort, but a life of faith, a life of putting your hope and trust in Him and seeing Him do the things that only He can do? If you've never understood that God became flesh just so He could meet you, just so He could have a moment to offer you His love, His forgiveness, and give His life to you, my hope is that you would understand and believe and receive that today. You just right now from where you're at, call out to Him and say, "God, thank You for being a God that came to be with us and is here with us now. Thank You. Thank You for being a God that took my place on a cross, took my sins upon Yourself, gave up Your life to offer me forgiveness. Thank You. Come into my life. Help me to learn what it means to have God with us in my own life. Help me to know what it means for You to be Emmanuel in my life, to be with me. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to follow You." God, I pray for those of us in this room who already know You as our Savior and Lord, but we're not necessarily living with You as if You're with us each and every moment of each and every day. God, help us to realize the truth that you are with us 24/7. You're with us always. Help us to put our hope in knowing that you are there. Help us to put our trust in knowing we can lean on you. Help us to put our trust in knowing that you will carry us through our darkest times. Thank you for being a God who loves us, a God who cares, a God who is with us. Emmanuel. As we think about these things this morning, Lord, help us to remember that you came for one purpose, to show us the way to safety through your own life, dying, having your blood shed for us. And as we remember this morning, as we take a piece of bread, your word says, as we eat of bread, as often as we do, let us remember that your body was broken for us. As we eat of this broken bread, let us remember that you were broken for us. As we dip it in this cup of juice, let us remember that your blood was shed for us to forgive us of our sins. As we receive and partake in communion today, God, let us receive you into our life so that we can go from this place ready to live for you. In your name I pray.